In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I kind of like dialects and accents of speech. You know, some of you have probably heard me do my Norwegian brogue from the home state of Minnesota. Oh, yeah, sure, you betcha, Ole. Isn't that something? Yeah, oofta, he was all messed up. Well, I have an ear for these things, and I was over in Muncie a few years back, and I was at the gas station. Some of you think you know where this is going, don't you? I was at the gas station over there, and the woman was in front of me, and she had a real thick East Coast accent. You know, you could tell she wasn't using any R's at all. She had to park the car over there. And finally, you know, she was talking a little bit more, and I found out that she was from New York, New York, Long Island. I said, okay, so the guy behind the counter hears this talk, and he rather rudely calls into his companion in the little office, and he goes, "Hey, Marge, come out here and listen to this woman talk. She ain't from around here." And I thought, you know, you ain't from around here either. But but in Muncie, that's what passes for normal. So maybe, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, you ain't from around here. And that's the problem that there was in today's gospel lesson. Jesus before Pontius Pilate. This is really a Good Friday kind of text. You know, it's Jesus on trial before Pontius Pilate, before he's killed. And he's there, and Pilate's trying to find out what kind of a king are you? Where are you from? And they're kind of starting to get the idea, he ain't from around here. He's a different kind of king than they were used to. And they were used to kings that, you know, self-aggrandizing, filled their own pockets, took care of what they wanted to do, and lorded it over everybody else. And I don't know why they even had kings to begin with, because they had a theocracy going in Israel where God himself was the head of the country. That's not good enough. Oh no, we want kings like the other nations. They've got them. How come we can't have them? Okay, all right, you can have a king. So they gave him Saul, who was nuts. And then they had David, who had a couple of character defects of his own, like adultery and murder. And then Solomon, 300 concubines, 700 wives, or whatever it was. You know, and these were the good kings. It went downhill from there. So these were kings that came in, and they pretty much lorded it over others and got what they wanted. And Jesus coming along, who was the servant king. Now that didn't make sense to anybody, to be a servant king. That sounds like two things that shouldn't go together. That's an oxymoron, servant king. That's like jumbo shrimp and military intelligence and short-necked giraffes and stripeless zebras and evangelistic Lutherans. You know, things that don't go together. Servant king. What the heck is that? They did not know. So Jesus is trying to put this across to people, and their vision of who a king is completely different. This is Christ the King Sunday. And what that means is that Christ wants to be king of our hearts, but there was a lot of mistaken notions out there about what that meant when Jesus was around. So Pontius Pilate says to Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, well, you know, you say that I am. Where'd you get that? Did you come up with it on your own, or did you ask other people? You say that I am. Well, I don't know. I'm not a Jew. Are you a king? Pilate says. And then Jesus said, for this I came to the world, to testify to the truth. My kingdom is not from this world. You notice he didn't say it's not of this world. Oh, he's of our world. He's involved in what we're doing. But the authority that he gets is not from the world. It's from a higher place, the authority that he has. Jesus goes about being a king in a far different way because he does not rule with power as the kings they knew. He rules with authority. What's the difference? Well, power is raw power where you can take somebody by the scruff of the neck and make them do what you want them to do. Authority means that people voluntarily will follow you because you're leading in a way that they've never seen. Authority is what Mother Teresa had, that she, even though she was just a little bitty woman and didn't have any money or political power, she had great authority when she spoke, and people changed their votes on things anyway, just because she spoke up for it. Authority is what my grandmother had, even though she was a little bitty Norwegian and had no education to amount to anything and no wealth. She had great authority over my sister and my brother and me because she had won that authority by countless acts of selfless love. That's how she got authority. That's how Jesus got authority. And he was saying, my kingdom is not from this world. It's from a different place. He ain't from around here. They finally, you know, figured it out later. So he said to Pilate, this is what I came to testify to the truth. And those people who know the truth, belong to the truth, listen to my voice. And Pilate sort of scoffs and says, what is truth? And the ironic thing of the whole story is that he had truth standing right in front of him. It's not that Jesus spoke words of truth. Jesus is God's truth. Jesus is the truth of what God thinks about us. Jesus is the truth of who we are in relationship to our God. He is the truth. When God decided to send Jesus, he said very clearly to us this truth. I love you. I care about you. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get you back. He loved us enough originally to give us free will, and by jolly, we use it. But he also loved us enough to give us a way back. And that is his truth standing right in front of Pilate. Now, when we're little kids, we have to kind of get truth from other people. You know, our parents, grandparents, our elders, maybe even our pastors or teachers. And we learn certain truths, hopefully. Like, you know, take a nap. It's good for you. Eat your veggies. It'll make you strong. You know? Go outside for a while. Don't just sit with your electronic devices. Get outside and let the wind blow the stink off you for a while. Get out there. Do something. Play. Other truths we learn, like, don't hit your sister. It's not good for her and you'll become a bully. Study hard. You'll be a success. You know, these are truths that we all learn. But I hope that every child, including all of us here, I hope that every child heard the words of the ultimate truth, and that is God cannot not love you. It's in his very nature. He has to love you. You're part of him. He's part of you. He can't get enough of you. He loves you and will do anything, up to and including sending his genetic son to take care of his adopted sons and daughters. He loves you, and he always has, and he always will. And he wants you to be whole, and he wants you to be healthy. That's God's truth. Jesus is the servant king to deliver that truth to us. And so we become then, I guess if he's the servant king, what does that make us? The servant servants? Well, anyway, then we pass that on to other people. So yeah, it's true. He ain't from around here. Thank God, because his kingdom is not the kind of thing we see around here either. He wants to be king, not in the way others do, lording it over, like politicians versus statesmen. Statesmen do what is good for the people, good for the country. Politicians do what's good for them. He's not in that sense. He wants to be king of our hearts. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.